Clash of the Silicon Titans.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Consider the virtual gauntlets thrown down. A month ago, Microsoft launched a search engine called Bing, a direct assault on Google. And in a blog posting late last night, Google gave as good as it got. The search engine giant announced plans to get into the operating system business. Marketplace's Dan Gretsch reports.
It'll be called Google Chrome OS. OS stands for operating system, the standard software that controls a PC. Google said in an official blog post that its new operating system would be defined by its speed, simplicity, and security. This latest move by Google is aimed at Microsoft's jugular. The operating system is at the heart of computing, and it's the foundation of Microsoft's business model. The announcement has already raised questions about Google's dominance in computing. Google CEO Eric Schmidt says his company's focus is consumer choice. He spoke to Marketplace's Kai Ryssdal in an interview recorded last week.
We feel that as long as we are really focused on consumer benefit, in other words, if the action we take really does benefit the average consumer, that the rest of the industry, the rest of the government, will get around that because consumers speak in democracies.
Google Chrome OS will first appear on netbooks in the second half of 2010. No response or blog posts yet from Microsoft. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
I wouldn't recommend Googling the markets this morning, at least not before you've had your coffee. Oil prices are $62 a barrel this morning. That's down more than 10 bucks from just a week ago. Investors evidently don't think the global economy is going to pick up soon enough to boost the demand for oil. Tokyo's Nikkei index dropped 2.3%. Hong Kong's Hang Seng fell 0.8%. Things a little better in Europe. London's FTSE is down just a hair. Germany's DAX is basically flat. Yesterday, U.S. markets hit two-month lows. The Dow Jones Industrial Average dropped nearly 2%. The NASDAQ and S&P 500 also off around 2%. Wall Street's websites got hammered, too. Sites for the NASDAQ and the New York Stock Exchange got hit by a massive cyber attack yesterday. The rogue virus also hit the sites of the Defense Department, the Federal Trade Commission, and the Washington Post. The virus overwhelmed the sites and, in some cases, shut them down entirely. South Korea was also targeted. No word yet on who might have launched the attack.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act.
It's a small world and a pretty broke world, after all. The group of eight nations meets in Italy today to discuss the global recession. G8 countries, including Russia, the UK, Japan, and the US, are hoping to coordinate economic recovery strategies. Apparently, everyone is struggling with the how much stimulus is too much question. Another universal quandary, how much regulation is too much? Today, the British government unveils its plans to regulate the UK's financial industry. British bankers are bracing themselves for a crackdown on bonus pay and lending practices. From London, Stephen Beard has more.
The British government says that huge bank bonuses were a major factor in the credit crisis. They were often tied to the short-term performance of the bank's share price, and that encouraged too much risky lending. In the future, the government wants to see bonuses paid out over longer periods and linked to the long-term profitability of the banks. The government's also proposing new curbs on lending to prevent asset bubbles. Leslie McLeod of the British Bankers Association says the government should tread warily. Too many curbs might drive some banks out of Britain.
It's one of those cases where things just chase the money. So you could see perhaps a bank like Barclays or HSBC thinking about whether or not they want to remain quartered in the UK.
But having spent more than $1.5 trillion of public money propping up the bulk of the UK banking industry, the government feels the voters will accept nothing less than a crackdown. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Europe has been struggling with rising unemployment. Jobless rates are at a 10-year high. In this country, the unemployment rate is expected to top 10% by the end of the year. That's pushing more people into financial distress. It's also changing the geography of poverty. More low-income people live in suburbs than cities now. Marketplace's Jeff Tyler has more.
Rising levels of unemployment have been pretty much the same in cities and suburbs. Alan Berube is a senior fellow with the Brookings Institution.
That's a change from previous recessions where the cities seemed to take it on the chin and the suburbs avoided the worst.
He says Chicago exemplifies the national trend. When Nixon was president, about a third of Chicago's poor lived in the suburbs. Now it's about half. 41-year-old Vanita Thomas is one of those people. She has an MBA and worked as an accountant until she was hospitalized for a serious illness. After that, she managed to find a few temp jobs until the economy went cold.
Nobody was hiring. You couldn't find a temp assignment. Everything went dead.
She went on unemployment, but that only lasted until the fall.
September, my unemployment's running out, and basically my landlord, he's saying, you're a nice tenant, but Ms. Thomas, if you can't afford the rent, I have to put you out.
A friend from her church let Thomas stay with her in the suburbs. When she still didn't have money for rent last January, Thomas had to move into a local shelter.
That day was like my ground zero because that's when the reality really hit me that I was homeless.
She lived dormitory style with roommates. Thomas was grateful to have a roof over her head, but angry about her circumstances.
Years back, they told you, go to school, get an education so you can get a good job, so you would never have to worry about being in a situation like that. I kept saying, how can this happen to me?
Some of the increased poverty in the suburbs has happened gradually. Immigrants who traditionally settled in inner cities are increasingly moving directly to suburbs. That's where the jobs are, or were. Again, Alan Berube with Brookings.
This recession is going to perhaps accelerate the long-term trend toward the suburbanization of poverty.
Some of the suburban poor will bounce back. Vanita Thomas got a job with a call center. She earns less than she did as an accountant, but it's enough for an apartment. And she can set aside some money each month, aware that she's just a couple paychecks away from being homeless. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Thanks for joining us.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.